sale and repurchase or repos. We need to also consider the importance of the repo market, the sale and repurchase market. This is one of the largest markets in the world that very few people know anything about. Many large institutions and specifically government agencies and in particular central banks will deal through the repo market. The particular advantage is that you are creating a form of secured lending without actually using any form of specific legal security. This can then make the transaction much more efficient, much more cost effective, as well as it avoids separate parallel legal conditions and obligations, such as having to file charges with the company's office. It used to be Section 395 of the Companies Act 1985, and now under the 2006 Act, we have to comply with certain specific obligations where security is concerned or created. We can avoid all of that using the repo. It also may apply in practice that parties are subject to separate covenants or obligations, including, for example, negative pledges, which prevent their ability to grant or confer security. In those cases, we can avoid all of the additional restrictions and breaches that may arise through the use of a repurchase situation. In this case, what we're going to do is this. Rather than simply lend, we're going to sell securities and then repurchase them. We're going to provide for the immediate repurchase of the securities at the initial time the transaction is entered into. The effect of that is legally to move title to the securities over, which creates a form of security, but then retransfer that back afterwards. One of the difficulties we have to be careful of in many types of financial situation and transaction, in particular in the financial area, is that we need to avoid what we call recharacterization risk. Recharacterization arises where the courts will look at the transaction, it will consider and examine the rights and duties of the parties and conclude that even though something is stated to be this type of transaction in law for the purposes of the particular transaction, the actual rights and entitlements created actually mean that it is in fact something else, or it is in law something else. This very often arises, for example, where we have sales and trusts and other types of relationships. The court will look at all of the rights and entitlements created under the documentation used, and it may reclassify or recharacterize the nature of the transaction as being something that the parties did not intend. So we have to watch that, we have to avoid that. What tends to happen is, or has occurred over time, is that the repo market is now so well established that the courts will recognize this. In particular, if we're using the most commonly made available standard documentation in this market, it will almost always be treated as being a proper repurchase and sale and not a disguised security transaction. With regards to the development of this market, the first repo was used by the United States Federal Reserve in 1918. The modern market then grows and develops from the 1990s onwards, including with the UK gilt repo market, which opened in 1996. The US market quickly developed to grow to over $1 trillion, with international transactions approaching $500 billion. Repos include what we call the standard, classic, or vanilla repo trade, which involves an immediate sale of an asset subject to an undertaking to repurchase the asset at a specified maturity date and price, which will include what we call the repo interest. The repo interest is effectively the interest that we want to charge for the duration of the transaction. It's effectively a loan price on the use of the collateral for that period. Now, what we're going to have is there will be a contract is entered into on the, we call the trade date. The sale will then take place on a value or settlement date, that's the repurchase. Collateral may either be specific, which is identified, or general, which is referred to as general collateral or GC, so that then becomes a GC trade. Settlement price for government securities can be referred to as the dirty price, where the specific value of the security is above its nominal issue price on the trade date. the clean price would be the market value. What will also happen is that there may be a margin or haircut will be imposed, which will ensure that the full amount of collateral covers any additional risk which arises in the event of default by any of the parties. Repos are very useful. These can provide flexible and secure forms of transaction to increase or reduce total amount of funds within the financial system. They can provide liquidity in bond, equity and derivatives markets. They can allow for the management of positions, in particular to cover short positions. They can also reduce counterparty risk. They can provide additional funds at lower interest rates with supporting collateral cover, or generate additional funds for securities holders through repo trading in the repo transactions themselves, as well as create an additional investment vehicle for investors which have surplus funds at any point in time. In addition to the standard or classic repo, we also have reverse repos, we have sell and buybacks, we have tri-party repos. We can also refer to custody repos, safekeeping repos, borrow loan versus cash repos, bonds borrowed, collateral pledged repos, cross-currency repos, or other forms of four-party repos, floating rate repos, flex repos, and collateral swaps. And I explain all of these in the paper provided. Because this is a core international finance market, there will be standard documentation used here. The most commonly used form of documentation is the Global Master Repurchase Agreement, that's the GMRA, which was originally produced by the Bond Market Association, the BMA. This is now the Securities and Investment Markets Association. I think it's SIFMA. This was originally produced, I think it was around 1992. It was revised in 1995 and then reissued again in 2000 with subsequent changes. This applies with regards to repos, buy and sell backs, and what we call agency trades. It's governed by English law, although there's a separate 1996 Master Repurchase Agreement governed by New York law. The GMRA includes specific provisions dealing with transfer of title, netting, margin payments, withholding, set off, and termination. We also have a specific, what we call a GELSA, which is used for trading in gilt-edged stocks in the United Kingdom. This is generally applied by gilt-edged market makers, GEMS. So the GELS is a specific form of repo standardized trade that we can use in these specific markets. There's also a separate gilt repo code of best practice, which controls conduct in the market. Repos will generally be settled and traded in the UK through CRESS, which is the electronic settlement system formerly managed by the Bank of England. Additional special issues arise with regards to regulation, accountancy and taxation, and I refer to these in the paper. The other issue to mention, which is relevant in practice, is with regards to what we call stock lending. You can either use securities for repo transactions, whereby they can support borrowing by companies who've got additional assets. What can also happen is that institutional investors who are holding large amounts of securities, such as pension funds or other asset managers, hedge funds, collective investment schemes, unit trusts, they can use the securities for stock lending purposes. What that then means is they're going to lend the securities into the market to other counterparties. So securities can be used to support the repo, the sale and repurchase, which allows the party holding the securities to borrow from another party, such as the central bank, although investors holding securities can also use these for lending purposes. This is specifically commonly used where there is some form of short selling. And very often, if there's short selling on a recognized stock market exchange, a formal stock market exchange, short selling is prohibited where it is what we call naked. Naked short selling means you're trying to bet against the movement in a price when you don't actually hold the specific security. Naked short selling can be avoided by borrowing the security for the period of the short sale. So if, for example, you think the price of a particular stock is going to collapse by next Friday, and you want to short sell that on the market, you can enter into the short sale so that you're going to sell at the much lower price. But what you will then do is you will borrow the stock for that 5-day period. Now, what then happens is this: you're going to buy at one price, settle at a much lower price, and make a large profit in the middle. And all you'll then have to do is you have to pay for the rental for the stock during the stock lending period. So you'll pay a very small fee for the stock lending, which allows you to conduct the naked short sale. Again, all of this is governed by standard documentation. So this was originally produced by the International Stock Lenders Association, OSLA. And we've already mentioned there's a separate gilt-edged stock lending agreement, GELSA. That was revised in 1995. The new provisions are also set out in other related documentation. Again, I've referred to all of this in the paper provided. This represents another important device which provides additional flexibility for use in these large complex markets that we're looking at. Essentially, what happens is that parties, whether it's lending parties with additional assets, surplus assets, or borrowers who've got deficit positions, will have specific needs which will arise with regards to their own particular positions or with regards to the risk in the markets. And what we simply see is this: over a period of time, a large number of different types of instruments are developed to respond to all of the particular new needs and requirements that can apply in any particular market at any particular time. These are then two important additional types of modern facilities which are commonly used in international finance, with the repurchase and sale agreements with repos, again using standard documentation, and the stock lending transactions specifically to cover short position trading.